Hi, this is ETF.com's Exchange Traded Fridays podcast, a weekly podcast covering developments in the ETF industry. My name is Sumeet Roy, and I'm senior analyst for ETF.com.
And I'm Lucy Brewster, finance reporter here at ETF.com.
This week, we're talking with Chris Gannotti, global head of research at WisdomTree. Chris, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So, Chris, you've talked about this idea that investors should think about artificial intelligence in phases and that the activity of firms is going to evolve over time. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Absolutely. And one of the things I saw yesterday in a Barron's article was basically the fact that many of those companies that in 2023, you couldn't escape them. They were termed the Magnificent Seven. There are seven of roughly the largest stocks listed on public markets in the world. And many of those companies are also the companies where, when you think of who's buying the NVIDIA chips, it's largely these firms that are building massive computing infrastructure for AI models to train on and run on. And the article indicated that these companies for this year are going to spend roughly $175 billion, which is a staggering sum to consider. It gives further bullishness, I guess, to the thesis behind NVIDIA continuing to grow its sales. But it tells us sort of what's going on right now. You might see different stories, you know, Microsoft Copilot this and Copilot that, but in the end, the biggest thing that's happening right now in 2024 is this build out of compute infrastructure. We saw Jensen Huang last week at the GTC, where he was unveiling the Blackwell chip, widely anticipated. But it's basically increasing the capabilities such that we can either run bigger models, we can run more models, we can do the training, and the infrastructure is ready for sort of the things that come next. And in our opinion, the things that come next are all of the applications, the companies adopting more and more AI practices, policies, and benefits. But ultimately, part of that stuff we can predict, things like Copilot, and part of that stuff is the disruptive technology that we may not be able to predict based on what we know today.
Yeah, and then sort of going off that, I mean, I think a lot of people think of AI as, you know, ChatGPT, because that's sort of been the most consumer-facing way a lot of people have interacted with these chatbots. But what are some of those applications that you mentioned that you think will be really transformative that, you know, maybe people are a little under the radar right now in terms of how the average person understands how AI works?
I love ChatGPT in that it awakened the world in a different way to artificial intelligence. It sort of feels like we can split time and we can think before November of 2022 and after November 2022, sort of after the ChatGPT release. And the further thing that was exciting is within a month or two, you had roughly 100 million daily active users, which is sort of an absurd level of growth. Very, very few apps ever experience anything like that. But then you saw almost every person in the C-suite, when they would do the quarterly earnings calls for public companies, mentioning the fact that they're aware of generative artificial intelligence, which is sort of the umbrella under which ChatGPT and all these large language models sit. They're aware that these tools could help them better understand their data. And they're looking at ways to possibly make those adoptions. Now, what was notable is it took until November of 2023 before Microsoft, and Microsoft has sort of been first mover in many ways, first mover in terms of big company perceived to be leading in AI. They made that partnership with OpenAI, which was very fortuitous. And you look at it and you say it took them roughly a year to go from ChatGPT as announced to a general user of Microsoft Office 365, which many of us use, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, Outlook, et cetera, could opt in for $30 per user per month to Copilot. So there are people out there, many of which have probably heard of or seen the idea of Copilot, basically this virtual assistant functioning in the apps that you're using most of your day in general, and recognizing that Google, it was formerly known as Bard, but now known as Gemini, has, of course, the similar thing at the similar price point, namely saying there are these things called productivity apps that many of us use: email, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, those kinds of things. And these productivity apps benefit from a virtual assistant that knows every feature and can sort of learn from the patterns of what you're doing. But a lot of investors we speak to, we step back and we say, wow, if that's really what AI is and that's the end of the journey, it's a bit disappointing, because we all hope that AI is something more than just using the productivity apps that we're all familiar with 20 or 30% better. The application that at WisdomTree we are the most excited about, because we think it has the most transformative potential, but it's also the case that it's the returns tend to be the highest risk and the hardest to come by, is things like in biotechnology, where, for instance, you have this concept of drug discovery, companies like Recursion Pharmaceuticals, Exscientia, and recognizing that to develop a drug today takes something like 10 years, billions of dollars. The failure rate is 95% plus. And even if you could cut down a few years off that time, if you could improve the success ratio a little bit, the value to society of doing something like that is just so high and so important, and possibly life-changing for so many people in the world, that thinking of using these systems to recommend and to think through what might new molecules look like that could have therapeutic use, this to us is among the most exciting possible future applications of AI.
Yeah, that certainly is exciting, Chris. And it's going to be interesting to see what applications come out of, AI. But I want to step back a bit again and talk about what's going on right now with the data center build out that you talked about. Obviously, when investors think about AI, their first thought is always NVIDIA, and it's at the center of that data center build out. But the stock has just been on this incredible tear, where it's now the third most valuable stock in the world by market cap. But then you look at the earnings, and remarkably, the stock isn't that expensive at around 30 times forward earnings. But at the same time, you're looking at the chart, it's parabolic. And like you said, you have these companies like Meta, like Microsoft, like Amazon, and we're just spending tens of billions of dollars on these chips that NVIDIA is selling. Is it sustainable?
We think, as we step back and recognize that, again, to your original question, which was sort of this idea of different phases of artificial intelligence, it's not going to be the case that this combination of the largest companies in the world for perpetuity will be spending something like $175 billion every year going forward. Eventually, what you would expect is you would expect that the build out completes and you get closer. Obviously, you're still generating new types of chips. There's still always the market for the cutting edge, but you get closer and closer to a steady state, recognizing that data centers, it's ultimately going to become something similar to a utility-like service in the future, recognizing how much time we spend dealing with data, dealing with our phones, generating data. The world and our connection to data and computing and these devices is going to become just more and more something we expect almost every moment that we desire it across general and daily life. And so, what ultimately we would expect to transpire, and you see NVIDIA sort of making sure to reference that they're not just the chip company, even though the chips that they're selling are selling, on the order of 40,000 per unit, and they're selling an awful lot of them, but they're really building AI platforms, because they don't want to necessarily get construed as, once you've purchased your chip, the benefit that we as NVIDIA bring to you is over and done with. They talk about their CUDA software stack. They talk about all sorts of additional incremental value additive resources that they're always trying to bring to the space, because they don't necessarily want to be pigeonholed as once you buy the chip, that's it. And they're really creating a very interesting example of a company that has been able to reinvent themselves numerous times in the sense, if you think about it, they were focused on video games, then they focused a bit on cryptocurrency, mining and that type of service. Now they're in the AI space. And so it's fascinating to watch how they've been able to take their graphics processing unit and see the flexibility of applications that they can bring to it.
And beyond just NVIDIA, I mean, I think some investors look at the gains from all the Magnificent Seven companies and a lot of these AI-fueled tech stocks and worry about there being a bubble forming. And some draw the comparison to sort of the dot-com boom and bust cycle. Do you think that's, a valid concern that investors have, or is some volatility just a part of, what should be expected when investing in emerging technology?
It's so interesting to look at this question at WisdomTree. We look at this question frequently, and it was remarkable to see that in 2020 and 2021, just stepping back a few years, we had a scenario where there were these sort of speculative growth companies, many of which had just entered the public markets, not necessarily bringing, those revenues from the top line all the way to the bottom line. So you would say they're not necessarily generating earnings, or they're not necessarily profitable yet. And so you had that sort of initial run where, in my mind, that is more similar to what the late part of the 1990s looked like, in the sense that you got to a certain point and we were making up new statistics to denote value. We were adding .com to the name of different companies, and on adding just the .com, those three letters plus the period, you would see the valuation just spike upwards to incredible degrees. And you would see stocks with PE ratios. Professor Siegel, our senior economist himself, wrote the article, Big Cap Tech Stocks Being a Sucker's Bet, in March of 2000, where certain stocks were denoted with triple digit PE ratios. And so, on that basis, what's different now is not the fact that there's not risk. There's certainly risk in the market. You can certainly have a 10, 20, 30% correction from these levels. But what's also the case is when you look at the biggest companies in the world and you say, are they generating earnings? Are they growing earnings? Are they growing revenue? NVIDIA is sort of the extreme case where it's an absolute yes, almost to record-setting proportions. But these other companies as well are incredibly profitable. They generate a lot of cash. Meta Platforms just announced a dividend recently and a buyback recently. So they're even returning some of this cash to shareholders. And that's something you really didn't see in the late 90s going into the bursting of the tech bubble. So we shy away from saying it's a bubble, even if, like we said, there can always be corrections as we go forward.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, we're definitely in the early innings of a lot of this AI implementation. And, I think people can see that a lot of these chip makers and software infrastructure has seen huge stock gains from the technology. But I'm curious if there's either a sector, or another, another sector that is sort of on its way to maybe seeing some gains from this technology that hasn't necessarily, it's not already factored into its stock price yet.
It's a very interesting discussion to have, because looking at what has worked recently in, say, this growth-oriented thematic equity space, we've got the connected areas to AI, which are really largely still tech-oriented companies. And there are strategies out there that focus on semiconductors, and there are strategies that focus on, say, certain types of software like cloud computing and cybersecurity. But I kind of view that as all in sort of the same, or at least substantially a similar family. And you haven't seen the same amount of increases or gains, with maybe the exception of the companies that are associated with the obesity or the anti-obesity drugs, and weight loss drugs that have also gotten a lot of attention recently. So you have that sort of corner of pharmaceuticals, you have that corner of technology, and ultimately, we think the future of AI is going to come down to these other sectors, these other areas adopting artificial intelligence more and more. We look at what happened with Meta, not that Meta is in a different space, but as an example, they went through a period where it was widely focused on sort of the year of efficiency. And usually that means cutting costs. And cutting costs, usually for a lot of these companies, the biggest cost is the people who are employed there. So unfortunately, for a few thousand of the people employed there, they no longer had jobs. But they started using artificial intelligence because obviously Meta makes a lot of money by placing advertising in the appropriate way based on people's feed and their interests and all of those kinds of different elements. But they were using AI to come up with the copy and the content behind a lot of those advertisements. So in the past, it would have been people. In recent periods, it was AI. And you saw a downdraft in terms of cost. You saw an uptick in terms of revenue. So the margin improved, the revenue improved. And this was one of the things that the stock was widely credited for based on the earnings for the period at the end of 2023, recognizing, wow, these numbers look really good. We're able to make the share buyback, we're able to initiate a dividend. And it was a great example of a company where you're seeing an early stage benefit of artificial intelligence. So we tend to think a lot of companies out there, whether it's financial services, insurance, healthcare, a lot of areas, as they become more and more familiar with what AI can bring, could benefit from a more efficient operating environment. And the hope would be we see a more widespread efficiency gain cultivated across the economy.
That's really interesting, Chris. And I know WisdomTree manages an AI-related ETF, which I want to get into. But before we do, can you talk about at a higher level how investors should evaluate AI ETFs? What kind of things should they look for?
And I love that question because essentially there are things that people should look for all the time, which is the underlying methodology and just ensuring that they know when they look at the top 10, is one company going to have 20% weight versus 2% weight and things of that nature. These are the overall methodological concerns that should be thought about all the time. But then if you're looking today, you had an excellent point, namely everybody looks at the chart of NVIDIA and they can't help but have a reaction. Because when you see a chart that looks like the upward hockey stick, the parabola going in the upward direction, some of us think I need to get on the momentum train, and some of us think I missed it, and that is just the ultimate emblem of a risk on a forward-looking basis. And the unfortunate thing is neither is necessarily correct because we don't know the future. But in looking today, you might want to know if I'm looking at an AI strategy, what is the percent exposure to NVIDIA? Because if you want to be on that momentum train, it might guide you in a direction. There are funds out there with more than 10%. We've written on our blog more than 10% exposure to NVIDIA, and that might be exciting for some. And there are funds out there that are more like what we do, where it's a more of an equal or balanced weight type approach, where you're going to see roughly a 2 or 2.5% weight to NVIDIA. And like we said, you don't know what the return is going to be. If you know NVIDIA is going to outperform, you obviously want more weight, but you don't know. And so you're sort of thinking about your view of the market, thinking about what fits with you as an investor, and trying to match that up to an underlying methodology.
And I know there is a semiconductor ETF out there that holds a 25% weighting in NVIDIA. So it could get quite high in just that one stock. But what about your ETF, Chris, the WisdomTree Artificial Intelligence and Innovation Fund, ticker symbol WTAI? What makes it a good AI ETF, and how much does it own in terms of NVIDIA?
So we're in the neighborhood, as I mentioned, of roughly a 2.5 or so percent weight, and based on relative returns of the markets that can go up or go down, we rebalance the strategy 2 times per year, basically in April and October. So it's sort of on this 6 month rebalance cycle. And what we're trying to recognize is it's very tough to call out ahead of time something like ChatGPT. We've already mentioned it on this podcast, recognizing that the way in which the world in general looked at AI changed in November of 2022 because of the consciousness, the awakening that came from ChatGPT. Now, if you recognize that you didn't necessarily predict that ahead of time, or beyond that, you didn't necessarily then put your entire portfolio in NVIDIA, which, with the benefit of hindsight, would have been an incredible strategy, just looking at the chart and looking at the returns. But ultimately, because we don't know where the future of this disruptive exponential technology is going to go, we tend to say there are certain raw materials providers, there's semiconductor and component manufacturers, there's cloud and infrastructure providers, there's robotics and automation, there's AI algorithm and software providers, there's innovative companies that are trying to do interesting and thoughtful things with AI. There's this mix. We think of it as a broad AI ecosystem, and we're trying to ensure that at any given time, we have a diversified exposure across the AI ecosystem. In 2023, what does that look like? It looks like we are not overweighting the Magnificent Seven. We're not overweighting NVIDIA. And again, with the benefit of hindsight, could you have had a higher return if you did so? Yes. But our whole point is we do not know where the future is going to take us. And we're recognizing that, yes, generative AI and large language models were sort of the flavor of the most recent, say, 15, 18 months. But at a certain point in the future, maybe it's something to do with robotics, maybe it's something to do with autonomous driving. You just don't know. And our thought is if people invest with WisdomTree, they're going with something that can stand the test of time, whatever that next AI innovation is, that next viral application of the technology might be.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Chris. I was recently reading a blog you wrote on the WisdomTree website, and you said something interesting, and that's you don't necessarily even need to invest in an AI specific ETF to get exposure to AI and to have a good AI play. And you pointed out quality ETFs as potentially being not necessarily AI proxies, but ETFs that give you strong exposure to that theme. How is that the case?
So, if we are correct, WisdomTree and others basically saying that this is a mega trend, what that has to mean is similar to what we've sort of alluded to on the call, is the benefits of artificial intelligence must spread beyond NVIDIA, must spread beyond the hyperscale cloud providers like Amazon, Microsoft, and Alphabet, must ultimately spread across basically almost every sector of the economy. And if that's truly happening, and if we truly believe in that, then many of the companies, and you see this in the earnings call mentions of the topic of AI, if you're looking at the Russell 3000 or if you're looking at the S&P 500, everything's been ticking up. Almost every company is referencing the technology in some way. And it's more of a question of just figuring out, okay, on the adoption curve as we're moving forward, where is this company versus that company or this industry versus that industry? And so one of the things that we have noticed is companies that are starting from a position of strength, and at WisdomTree, we tend to call that quality, where you're looking at stronger earnings growth, you're looking at higher return on equity, you're looking at higher return on assets. We have a WisdomTree quality growth strategy, QGRW, and we have a WisdomTree quality dividend growth strategy, where you're focusing on dividend payers, DG. RW. And ultimately, if you're starting from a perspective of high quality companies with lots of resources, it's these companies that in certain cases are able to position themselves in a way to take that new investment in that new technology like artificial intelligence. And some of the highest quality companies out there today, names like Apple, Microsoft, if you're focused on dividend payers, you might miss Alphabet and Amazon, but if you're not focused on dividend payers, you can include those as well. And so, by and large, some of the highest quality companies are actually those companies that are making the investments in the NVIDIA chips to expand the computational infrastructure. But you would then extend and say, okay, the companies that are able to spend the money to try to implement AI may also find themselves in that higher quality end of the spectrum because they're not under that stress, whether it's from higher interest rates or other factors. And they are able to, at the current moment, make investments rather than need to pull back and think about the risks that they're taking in their business portfolios.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I mean, like you mentioned, the application of AI is obviously going to go much further than just pure play tech software companies. And I'm curious, I think there reminds me of this idea that people sort of said in the dot-com boom of every company is going to become an internet company. And now I think there's sort of a similar sentiment of is every company going to have to become an AI company eventually? So I'm curious if you think that eventually, right now we think of AI as an investing theme and these thematic ETFs that capture AI. Do you think at some point it's just going to kind of become something that's synonymous about how every, large company has to operate with AI technology?
I like that paradigm because we've seen, in the case of the internet, we've seen the idea that every company needs a website, for example. Every company needs to give the consumer the option if they want to conduct business in an online way to do so. The most successful companies are the ones who have been most successful at that. And what you see a lot in articles these days is whether you're talking about employees, people, or companies, AI is a new tool in the toolkit, and you're going to be better served both at the company level as well as the employee level if you know the pros and cons of being able to bring to bear those tools on the important business problems that you're ultimately looking to solve. And so, because so much of what we do across different industries deals with the ever-increasing massive amounts of data that already exist and that we continue to create every day. Anytime you're thinking of something that has to do or is related to it in any way, the massive amounts of data out there, artificial intelligence represents a toolkit that allows you to possibly gain better and better insights for what you could what you could bring to your respective market, whatever that might be, and serve the customers that you're looking to serve that much better. Whether it brings efficiency to your employees, efficiency to your customers, better recommendations. The classic thing that AI has been used for to date, probably the most processing power of AI to date, has actually been employed by things that lead to a recommendation, whether it's Netflix recommending a show, whether it's YouTube recommending a video clip. TikTok gets a lot of attention for recommending certain types of content, and these days being a little bit politically divisive. And so the companies of today that are getting the most bang for the buck, it seems, are those that are using the technology to recommend something. But our thought is eventually we're going to expand beyond just AI is something that uses data to recommend, and AI could be something that could create AI, could be something that helps to build further and further things, code software, make up new video game characters. The list is potentially endless as we look forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to finish off with a more question. I'm curious, for these more thematic AI ETFs, including the one WisdomTree has, how much volatility should investors expect in the thematic thematic ETFs and sort of what place do they have in someone's portfolio?
Yes, and what we tend to see at WisdomTree is we tend to see investors having that sort of growth equity bucket, thinking about these thematic funds as sort of the precursor to sectors, in the sense that thinking about companies like whether it's Meta, formerly known as Facebook, or whether it's Alphabet, formerly known as Google, there were points in time where these were newly emerging stocks viewed as incredibly high risk, and now they're some of the most successful, largest companies in the world. And what everyone's hoping for is they're hoping to get on a similar train using these thematic funds, recognizing the Amazon.com, the Alphabet, the Meta of tomorrow. And when you do that, you're absolutely right to note that relative to, say, an S&P 500 index type of volatility level, depending on the construction, these strategies can be 33% higher volatility, 50% higher volatility, possibly even more. When you're looking at the funds, you want to be thinking how much small cap exposure is in there, how much exposure to companies that are not necessarily profitable yet is in there. These things can influence and dial up or dial back the levels of risk. But ultimately, what we tend to see is people will pick a few themes. Artificial intelligence could be one of those. Cybersecurity could be one of those. Biotechnology and related topics could be one of those. A person could think of a diversified basket of themes that fit their view of the world and what they're thinking is going to happen. But the final thing to note is themes and megatrends, they don't come to fruition next week, next month, or even next year. Usually, the important component to have in mind is the time horizon has to be long. It has to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years into the future. And so we recommend doing the work and doing the research so that you might envision yourself comfortable, not necessarily just for the next week, but rather for the next 5, 10, 15 years into the future, because with exponential technologies, a lot of the big potential doesn't come immediately. It comes years into the future, where frequently as a society, we're not as good at estimating what's truly possible on such a long time horizon.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that's a great place to leave us. But thank you so much, Chris, for joining us. This was such a great conversation.
It was absolutely a pleasure. Thank you.
Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find this and all other Exchange Traded Fridays episodes on ETF.com or on any major podcast platform. See you next week.